So, the thing that's been going through my head a lot is this whole thing called discipleship. Now, if you're just checking out the Christian church and that, then discipleship probably, what's that? Well, it's not in the Bible, that word. Word disciple is, that's common, but the word discipleship, it's a word coined by the church simply to mean the process of being a disciple. The whole thing of working to that ends of becoming or being a follower of Jesus. A lot of times we misunderstand, we read it as being a student. And as soon as you think of disciple as a student, in our culture here, student means in school, in a classroom, sitting down, learning, doing book stuff. And that is not what a disciple is. Disciple, like that's part of it, but that's not what a disciple, the way Jesus understands and the disciples in the early church understood. A disciple was, it was someone who accepts the instruction given to her and makes it her rule for how she lives life. So it's following, we say we follow Jesus, who's our, in the Jewish sense, rabbi. But disciples, they had a rabbi, and they would follow that rabbi. And they would not only learn from them, but they would want to mold their life according to the principles they were teaching. They would want to become like them. It was a compliment when someone said, "Oh, you must be a disciple of," right? So when Peter was at the fire pit, you know, when Jesus was being tried by the kangaroo court, when Peter was there and someone came up to him and said, "You must be one of them." He was like, "Oh, no." He didn't want to be like identified in any way, shape, or form, right? That was actually, he was actually being complimented. That actually someone could, you hang around with Jesus. It rubs off by the way you are, who you are. But that's what being a disciple is. What being a disciple is not is attending a large gathering of a faith community like this. That's not being a dis as part, but that's not what being a disciple is. That doesn't make you a disciple. It doesn't make you a disciple to believe in the Old Testament or the New Testament law. That doesn't make you a disciple to believe in like a statement of faith or something like that. What makes you a disciple of Jesus is that your total belief is in that Jesus is the Messiah, because that's what he claimed to be. Jesus is the Messiah, and you allow your life to be shaped by him. Entire life, your working life, family life, social life, everything. Everything gets reshaped. You allow that to happen. That's what being a disciple is. And the key word there, I want to, do we have the PowerPoint today? Let me know, just anybody shout it out when it's up. The key point in a disciple is being one. And that entails some hard work. Hence the name of this broader scope series, if you want to call it that. But just what we're going to look into over the next little while, do the work. And it entails work. And now that may go contrary to what you think, because we say it's the Holy Spirit that works in us. But what you have to understand in when, because we're a people of faith, right? Faith means that I believe who God says he is, I believe who Jesus is, I step out and do whatever that is. I step out, not, you know, you don't know, but you, because Jesus says it, I believe it. So you walk in that direction, and God joins in. That's what faith is. Being a disciple is then stepping out and start doing, believing that Jesus is going to come alongside. God's going to come alongside and work with you. It's not just sitting passively back. That's sort of it. There you have it. No, you don't. That's okay. You work on that. I'll keep going here. So you have to do the work. Being a disciple, though, what that means, you rock. Thank you. But what that means, though, is that you live your life proactively. Do you hear me? You live your life proactively, not passively. And I'll explain more of that just in a few minutes. It means owning your life. And I don't know if you own your life. I don't know if have you owned your life. You have this life, it's yours. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to live it? And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, then we allow him to shape my life, and I listen, I pay attention to what Jesus is saying, how he's living his life, and I want to reshape my life to fit that, to conform with his. I want my life to blend in with his life is what I want to do. Proactively. Now, proactively means I also, as a follower of Christ, I live in a way of humility, respect, and love for God and other people, because you can be proactive and still be a jerk, right? I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want. That's proactive. But it's not nice, right? And it's not Jesus. So when I talk about being proactively, it is living in that place of humility, walking in humility. Now, here's another difference too with what Christ has called us to and what Christ calls you to. In living proactively, the disciples' mindset is more focused on responsibility. What's my responsibility than it is what are my rights? And we live in a culture that is heavy on the rights. We have our Charter of Rights and Freedom. And it's about you can't do this because it's my right. It's my right to say what I want. It's my right to do what I want. It's my right to go where I want. We hear rights every day. We hear somebody mention that word. What the kingdom of God calls us to is, you could say, a charter of responsibilities. How you responsibly live. That's what Christ calls us to live our life responsibly. And that's key, that's critical. Now, there's a parable Jesus told, parable of the three servants, or some call it the parable of the talents. If you're familiar with the Gospels, Mark says that Jesus, when he spoke in public, he only spoke in parables. I don't know if you knew that, but that's all Jesus would speak in public, would be parables. So it was he wanted to get one point across, boom, boom, this one point. In the parable of the three servants, it was a story he made up. It was a story about a landowner who had some servants, and the landowner was going away for some time. And it says in the scripture that the landowner entrusted the servants with his wealth. That word entrust, that's the correct translation from the original languages into English, entrust. And entrust means I'm giving it to you to take care of, to care of. Now, as you think of that, now that parable was talking about, it was using money, but I believe Jesus had several meanings in that parable, what he was talking about. You could think life, that God has given you life and he has entrusted you with life to care for, to manage well, to steward, if you want to use that word, steward. That would be a word. But it all means the same thing. It's to take care of. We'll use that. Okay. So we're going to be talking about, over the next little while, what you have been given, entrusted with. So we're going to touch on things such as time. You've been given time. How do you manage that? You have been given the wealth that you have, whatever that is, a little bit, a lot. How do you use that? You have been given the whole thing of care of creation, our world, our environment. How do you care for that? And there is a responsibility we have. Here's just a little side note. We talk about the Great Commission of Jesus. Do you understand that's not our first commission? The first commission is found in Genesis, when it says you have dominion over the earth, that is saying to care for the earth. You've been given care of this planet. There's our first commission. We're going to touch on that at some point. So, but the other thing you've been entrusted with is this right here, your life. And we're going to touch on that right now. In school, when I was in public school, once a week, teachers would take some of the classes and go down to the arena. It was just a walk down the road. We'd go to the arena and do skating. And we had way more freedom to do things when I was a kid than kids today. One of the games we played on the rink, on the ice, was crack the whip. You guys ever play that? Well, we could play that on school hours, right? So we had a lot more freedom, and it was good. Now, crack the whip. If you were at the front part, it's great because you determine the speed, you determine the pace, you set the pace, you set the direction. So it was good to be on the front. Be in the middle, not too bad. It was okay. To be on the end, brutal, right? Because when you turn the corner and you're the tail, you're hanging on for dear life, because if you let go, you're going right into the boards, right? You go right into the boards. Anybody ever play that? Or is it just me from Stony Creek? No, okay. So it was crazy. And there were some times. And then sometimes what was bad to be on the tail, you're holding on okay. It's three people up ahead of you, and they let go. If they let go, you go too. Right? And the whole thing, and everybody, ha, 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 they think it's all funny, and, you know, but you're the one that gets slammed into the boards. And as I think about how a lot of people live their lives, myself included, we live our lives like something is leading us, and it's like a crack the whip game, and all we can do is hold on for dear life, praying to God that it doesn't go so fast that we let go and fly off into the boards of life, right? And go crashing. That's what it looks like when I look at people, when I look at myself, when I look at me. In fact, I catch myself a lot. I'm being led by what? What are those somethings that lead us? Any thoughts? Popular opinion, yeah. I'm gonna make it concrete. Okay, I hold that up, not pointing at people. That's pointing at me. No, not you. Okay, Lynn, that's because you're disciplined. That's because you don't... smart. No, we call this a smartphone. Here's the funny thing about this thing, okay? We let this treat us like we would never let a human being treat us, right? Because we could... If it was a human being attached to your belt, it would take about 10 minutes, and we would like tell that person to go away and leave me alone, because every 2 minutes it would be, hey, look over there, hey, look over here, hey, look, hey, you know, we would only do that for like 5-10 minutes, and then we'd tell the person, can you leave me alone? But yeah, is that what it is? This thing leads us. Seriously, it does. It leads us when I can be in a serious conversation with somebody, and I can feel it vibrate, right? And in me, I don't have the self-restraint to just ignore it. And I have to just, you know, and I keep talking. What is that? What is it that thing can go, hey, pay attention. But it leads us. Social media leads us. Right? If you're on Facebook, Twitter, chat, or Snapchat, whatever it's called, all those things, right, lead us. But popular opinion. Things I was thinking, like, you know what else leads us? Your fears. Your fears lead you. Any other thoughts? I have a list here. Not a big list. Money leads us. What's that? Fear, yeah. Pain avoidance? Yeah, it does. Yeah, I guess, yeah, work. Well, it can, yes. But we have to work, though, right? We have to. True. So, yes, work. How about culture? Which is popular opinion. How about your feelings, how you feel? Right? Example. I wake up, I feel blue and defeated for whatever reason, and I can let that decide how I'm going to live out the rest of my day, how I'm going to see the rest of the day. That's going to impact how I talk to you and how I receive you, right? How about addictions? Can addictions lead you? Absolutely. Addictions are the leash right on your neck, right? You come this way. How about I have desires? Our desires can lead us. And then finally I got, how about lies we've been told as a kid by the people we trusted? And it shapes and molds and directs, right? Greg? Yeah, that's true. That's good. I think it matters what we let lead us, and here's why. Our rabbi Jesus talked to us about the greatest commandment. And in Mark 12:29-30, Mark records Jesus' words as being the most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And there's more to it than that. But as I look at that, as I consider the greatest commandment, how God calls me to live, then what comes to mind is this: that to love God with my whole being is to own my life and live it as a gift of love offered to the God who created me. Now, I believe the human body, the human person, because that comprises body, soul, mind, spirit, the whole thing, right? I believe it is one of the most amazing, spectacular creations going. When you think of how we, just everything that makes us up, right? And I think what God has given to us, the best I can do is to live to the fullest of that. I really do. I believe God is thrilled when we can think, when we use our minds with intentionality, when we look after our bodies, when we look after our spirit, nurture our emotions. I believe God loves that when we care for it, because it's a beautiful, wonderful gift he's given to us. But there's an intentionality here. It's a mindset of ownership. And I belong to God. And we do belong to God, but there is a responsibility we have for how we live our lives. You have a responsibility for how you live your life, how the choices you make. You can choose. You can. We're not that passive that we can be just brought here, there, and everywhere. I can say, turning you off for 4 hours, leave me alone. I can do that. Right? I can make those choices. Now, who inspires me, of course, is Paul, one of my favorite apostles. I like all the apostles. I just wish I got to know some of them more. like Bartholomew. Does anybody know much about Bartholomew? No. Paul, he, when talking to the Corinthians, he's brilliant, because Paul there to talk about caring, to looking after your life, leading your life, owning your life, he uses the analogy of sports. Sports. He uses sports. And that makes sense, because Corinth in Greece held the Olympic Games, right? They had the games, right? So they were into sports. Sports was a big thing for them. And it's a big thing for us, where our culture revolves around sports almost to some degree, right? But Paul, this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, 24 to 27. And I'm going to read it to you. I want you to listen to the choice of his words. He says, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs?" Everyone. You're running. You're running. You're running. You're running. You're running. Just depends if you're a laggard, right? If you're tired from running. But we're all running. But only one person gets the prize, so run to win. That's what he says. Run. Now, what that means is, this isn't a race where you get, it's a competition or anything like that, but it talks about the mindset you need to have as you live your life. It's focused. It's, because if you want to win, you know, if an athlete wants to win, you know, if, right now we got the playoffs for hockey, right, going on, and there's, I'm not into basketball. Is basketball into playoffs? Okay, thank you. Sorry. I'm just not that much into it. Anyway, those players are focused. They probably have rituals, whatever it is, to get focused ahead of the game so that nothing distracts them. That's what Paul's talking about. So run to win. It's that certain specific attitude about how we live our lives. So, and then he goes on. This is 1 Corinthians, what do I got up there? It's not 12, it's 9. Mike, who can I blame? See, nobody. That was me. It's 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Do you know what shadow boxing is? Shadow boxing, it is something to know, right, in real life, right? It's, or in boxing, right? Because it's sort of like sparring with an imaginary person, right? But it's practicing the moves. It's good. It's harmless. You won't get hurt, right? Unless you hit yourself. But it's just doing the moves. But it's not really training. Because, so here's the example. There's one thing, I could do this, but if you told me a month from now, I'm going to be fighting Tom over there, and I go, whoa, hold on. There's a big difference how I train to shadow box. Or if you tell me, and in 1 month today, I'm fighting him. Because if I'm fighting him, I'm hiring a trainer, right? And I'm saying, okay, I got this big guy that I know if I just do sparring, he's going to go bang, and it's lights out. Can you teach me, right? And my whole, then I'll train 4 to 6 hours a day. I'll have proper diet and all that stuff, and I'll be like ready to go. That's what Paul's talking about. I just don't shadow box. I really take this literally. I take what I have to face in life literally, and I train accordingly. I really prepare myself. So Paul's talking about taking that lead in life. Isn't it interesting, though? Have you ever wondered how come living passively is so much easier? It's so much easier being led around. Here, come this, you know. It's so, to take the shortest route is always the easiest way for us, right? Come on, what's easier? Eat a chocolate cake or eat broccoli? Even right now, yeah, right. Forever, for those who said eat broccoli, whatever. Come on. Yeah. But there's a tendency, you know, if we're going to snack watching a movie, come on. You know why movie theaters don't sell you? They have, well, we have some broccoli here, sir, and we have some carrots, if you want, and there's some. Because they know. They know. We tend to go that way, right? We would tend to rather be horizontal than to get up and exercise. We would tend to not pray than pray. And it's isn't it interesting, though, in life, the things that are hard to do are really the things that are good for you. Right? Isn't that amazing? You ever thought about that? Wouldn't it be great if it was the other way around? That you get up and, I just want to exercise. That laying on the couch would be hard. That eating dessert would be hard. I got to force myself to eat that pie. Shoot. Okay. I guess I do have to get my daily portion in. You know, and it's not that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing, though? And I've wondered why. Why is that? And I think, you know what I think part of it is? I think part of it is because we're broken people. We're broken people. We're not something, you know, because of the sin, the fall of humanity, everything, there's just this tendency to go that way. There's just this tendency. And so it's all that much more harder. But like Paul says, we got to train ourselves. We got to push. We have to focus where we want to go. You have to own your life. You have to own it. You have to own it. So how can I be a person who manages my life well? I'm going to take you to a different book of the Bible in the Old Testament. I'm going to take you to the book of Ezekiel. Now this is from the Message. I'm going to be reading this, taking this one verse from, but all the other versions say the same thing. But the Message just says it in a way that we would understand, we would get it. And it's the correct meaning, it's a correct interpretation. Ezekiel, for those who don't know, was a prophet in before Jesus' time at the temple. And he was a different type of prophet. I've always wondered, if an Ezekiel came here, I wouldn't know what to do with him, right? Because if you read him, he's odd. He's a little different. But the religious leaders, they respected him, and they went to Ezekiel one day, and they asked, we want to have a message from God. And so Ezekiel went away, and he spoke to God, do you have a message for the leaders of Israel, for the leaders of the temple? And God says, and this is in Ezekiel 20, God says, yes, I do have a message. Tell them this. Tell them their forefathers, I chose them when they were the least, when they were slaves in Egypt. Tell them I love them. Tell them I promised to be their God. Tell them that I was going to rescue them. My plan was to rescue them from Egypt. And I also told them, do not be involved with all the things that the other nations are involved with. Get rid of, in the scripture it says, get rid of the vile things. Get rid of those things that are going to harm you. Get rid of, stop doing that stuff. And it continues, this is Ezekiel 25 down to 9. And God says, but they rebelled against me. And they refused to do what I asked them to do. And so I became furious, became angry. And it writes, I wanted to inflict my anger on them. Right? I wanted to inflict harm on them. In other words, he wanted to ground and pound them, right? He wanted to really do it. He was angry, furious. And then these words are spoken by God to Ezekiel. And I quote, then I thought better of it. I acted out of who I was, not by how I felt. That's it right there. That's from the Message. And right there you get a clean picture of what it looks like to lead yourself, to own your life. God acted out of one thing, to feel something. It's totally something else to act out of who you are. Question. Do you know who you are? And when I say that, I don't mean, I'm a child of God. No. Do you know who you are? Do you know the person you want to be in life? Do you know how you want, have you established what you will do, what you won't do? Do you have values and principles that you live by? That this is the way I live. Because that's what God calls each and every one of us to, guys. He calls us to know the way, how are you going to live your life? Because God's given you a life to live. It's yours to look after. It's yours to manage and use well. How are you going to live? So an example would be, well, as a follower of Jesus, and principles, they come out in our actions and that, what our principles, what our values are. But it would be something like, I will always prefer others. I will be a person who walks in humility, who doesn't boast. I will be someone who will be honest when I deal with people. I won't cheat on my taxes. I won't rip people off in my business. I'll treat my employees with respect. Those are values, right? Those are things. You establish the person I am going to be. This is who I am. This is who God has called me to be. This is what I'm going to be. And believe it or not, you can choose that. You can choose. What we fall prey to, though, is being led around by culture and by every other thing that comes along. And we're playing crack the whip, and we're at the tail end. And boy, we better hang on for dear life, because boy, we let go, we're going to slam into the boards big time, guys. But God calls each of us, lead your life. Lead it. You're responsible for it. You're responsible. How are you going to lead it? Like I said before, if I wake up feeling defeated and blue, that's not my identity, right? I'm not defeated. That's not who I am. I could feel that way. So therefore, I shouldn't act from that place. Now that's hard. That's where the hard work steps in. Because have you ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed? And it's just like a big black cloud's over you, right? And I have to remind myself that's not who I am. And this will pass, right? And I can choose how I want to look at my day. I can choose how I want to respond to people. I can choose how I want to see other people, what light I want to see them in. I can choose how I enjoy creation. I can choose things. I can choose. And it's making a choice. You read it in the Psalms. David was the same way, right? Psalm 42. He would speak to himself, put your hope in God. Why are you so down? He would say to himself, why are you so down? Put your hope in God. He led himself. Feelings are legit, but they can't lead us. Boy, that can go sideways real quick. Real quick. After the Israelites had settled into the promised land, Joshua gave the people a choice that they could follow the gods of other nations or they could choose to follow the Lord. And Joshua said, but as for me and my family, we're following the Lord. Joshua made a choice, principle, how he was going to live his life. Same thing is set before us. It's set before you, set before you, set before you, set before you. How are you going to live your life? You choose. You choose how you want to live it. Ever heard of the seven deadly sins? One of them is what they call sloth. And another name for sloth would be lazy, right? The problem with that, is that it dishonors what God has made, what God has instilled in you. Because I believe, I'm convinced, in fact, convinced that we are way more than we think we are. And I don't mean that I'm great or anything. I don't mean that. I believe we are made of more stuff, more stronger stuff than we believe we are. I always marvel. I like to watch documentaries, and I like to watch documentaries on World War II and on the Holocaust and things like that, and see how people who get wiped out right? They get wiped out. They go through hell. I have no frame of reference what they go through. And then they come out, rebuild their lives. And I go, what's in the human? What is in us that can do that? And I believe God has put in us, that's in us, that we can rise up way greater than we think we can, way beyond we think we can. I believe that. I believe that in my deepest part of my heart. I believe it's there. And I think that's why God pushes us and says, don't go this way. Don't go that way. Go this. There's gold here. Go do. And God wants to work with us. Because I think God sees something we don't see. He sees that kingdom image of us. So who leads you? Somebody does. Something does. If you're going to play crack the whip, you want to be at the front end, right? Here, I'll take the front end. Or at least be close to the front. You don't want to be near the back. So my challenge to you is, how about today you make that choice? You take a look at your own life and you think about, what are those things that lead me? What are those things that make decisions for me? And why not today decide, you know what, I'm going to take ownership. I'm going to take responsibility for my life. I'm going to do it. With God's help, I'm going to do it. And determine, what principles do you live by? And determine, if there's things you got to shift, you shift. Now, some of us, if it's a matter of the phone thing, you got a problem with the phone? You weren't here, so you can't, see that? Right? Anyway. Moving right along. let me take that back. I trust her. I do. I will. To deal with that is easy. You can turn it off. You can tell yourself, you know what? Every day for 2 hours, I will turn it off during the day. I'll turn that thing off. That's easy. And we can change things that way. We can fast from social media. God forbid, right? But we can do that. We can make that choice to do that. Bigger challenge is, what if what's been leading your life are the lies someone has told you as a kid? What if that's leading you? What if it's abuse? And as a result, it's shaped. It's malformed some part, some aspect. What if then? Well, the good news, and it's great news, is, remember what Jesus came for. His purpose. He lived very purposely. And he quoted from Isaiah, and he said, I came to release captives. I came to heal. I came to restore eyesight, right? To restore sight, life. I came to bring freedom to the oppressed. I came to bring dignity, to bring joy, to bring healing. That's the good news. And it's true, he did, and he does. But that's not as easy as turning off your cell phone. That takes prayer, that takes time, that takes sitting with the Lord, allowing the Lord to speak into you, allowing the Lord to come and minister, allowing the Holy Spirit to come. Because even if you are emotionally damaged because of past hurts and that, God can redeem that. God can take that and change it around. Change that around. And that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. But God can do it. Let's pray. And this is where, guys, where if that's a place you're at, where as you examine your own life and you discern what's leading you, and you come to the conclusion that, you know what, there are past hurts There are things where there are wounds that have reshaped me, and as a result, I just can't be. I can't get forward. That's where prayer ministry comes in. That's where on a Sunday morning, having at least a few folks gather around you and just minister and allow them to listen. Because all they're doing, they're like midwives, right? They're just listening for the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit saying? And allow those words from the Holy Spirit to come and minister to your heart. Because that changes things. I've had that. I've experienced that where just in that ministry time, where someone just praying, listening to God and speaking those words into my life just changed things for me. Just bound up some of those wounds from my childhood, right? God is good, and He will speak to you. So let's stand. Margaret, Ellen, and Chris, I don't know if you want to come up or not. I don't know if you're prepared. You don't have to. We don't need music. Music helps us to posture ourselves, helps us to posture our minds and our spirits and our hearts to receive. But let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and minister. Father God, we come before you right now, and Lord, as I think about the Israelites in Egypt, they were slaves. They had been captured. They were oppressed by Pharaoh. And Lord, a number of us here, we've had pharaohs in our lives, Lord, that oppress us, that don't allow us to be what you've called us to be. And Lord, we want freedom from that. And so, Lord, this morning we're looking for an exodus. We're looking to hear a word for you. And God's word about his kingdom coming, the Holy Spirit, is the same words he gave to Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And so, Holy Spirit, I just sense the Holy Spirit right now just commanding, "Let my people go." That some of you right now are walking around, you're the walking wounded. You're walking around bleeding. We don't know. Other people don't know. You know. And God knows. And God today wants to come and bind up those wounds. He wants to bind them up. He wants to touch. You think you're untouchable? He wants to touch and heal. He wants to heal that heart that's been wounded. Wounded. That hasn't been allowed to heal. He wants to bring healing today. He wants to bring healing. Let's do some business with the Lord right now. Let's just posture yourself to receive. And just ask the Lord to come and speak to you right now. What's he saying? What's he saying to you? What's leading your life? Are there fears that you have that actually cripple you in doing what you want to do and being who you want to be? He wants to free you from that. And how he does that is he injects his love into you, because love boots fear out. It boots fear out. Sense the Lord saying chronic pain is one that can take over and lead a life. And God wants to come over that. He wants to speak into that right now. He wants to come in and heal your mind, but also heal that pain. He knows, he sees you, that you walk with that pain, that is with you, and that it's almost like the pain demands to become your identity. But God says to you this morning, no, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. And God says to your pain, let my people go. Let it go. He commands that pain to be gone in Jesus' name. Some of you you've reached a point in your life where depression, that's all you seem to live with. It plagues you. It follows you. You can't shake it. It's there, and it distorts everything. It clouds everything. God says to your depression, let my people go. Let it go. Let them go. They are my people. You are his people. That's why he came and rescued, because you are his people. You are his people. Thank you, Father. If I could just have ministry team up, just make yourselves available. We'll close off the service, but ministry will continue. And I'm serious, guys. This is where it takes, this is where taking leadership of your life. If you need to come for prayer, come for prayer. It's just people, the prayer team is like midwives. They're just listening. They're just listening what the Holy Spirit's saying, and they're speaking those words in. And let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit speaks, when God speaks, things change. When the kingdom comes, everything changes. If you're just in that place where you're just in that special sweet place with the Lord right now, just stay there. Just stay there. Just stay there. So I bless you guys. I bless you guys as you go about your week, as you go about your time with your family, friends, coworkers, your community groups. I bless you to be people who lead your lives, to be people who live by God's principles, by God's standards. And guys, you'll be changers. You'll affect people. You'll be influencers. I bless you guys. Go in the grace and peace of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the front's open. If you want to come up for ministry, come up. The ministry team will be here to pray for you. And do business. Do business. Bless you guys.